from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? You should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 18th of November, 2013. I am your host, Mark Skogman. On Spectrum 360, in this edition, segment one, we have a program note. There are major changes happening with the program itself, Spectrum 360. We're going to talk about the program and our co-hosts and staff and announce a major change in Spectrum 360. And it's positive news and an opportunity. We'll be talking more about that in segment one. In segment two, I am going to talk about events that I've attended recently, most notably the Floridians Against the Trans-Pacific Partnership event this last Saturday, the 16th of November, 2013. There was a rally, speakers, and march against the Trans-Pacific Partnership in downtown Orlando. There was a one-mile march, rally, speakers. We will be covering that. And also, there was an event that was the screening of the new film, The Invisible War, about military sexual trauma. I saw the film, and I'll have a brief review of that event and the film itself and more information about that. In segment three, we're going to have multiple interviews. So this is going to be interesting. I've got a little bit of everything for you from the last several days. I have an interview with Darden Rice, who's a St. Petersburg City Councilwoman elect, about the elections and about her agenda for the City Council. That'll be interesting. Also, we have a speech by Dwight Dudley that happened today. Both these interviews happened actually today, so this is hot news. And the Darden Rice interview is a Spectrum 360 exclusive. The candidates that I interviewed and the state representative that I interviewed, Dwight Dudley, they were attending an event called Florida for All. It is for the rule of law and against the candidacy of Rick Scott for governor. We'll see what they had to say and what criticisms they had for the governor. Also, I've got an update. I've got an interview with Chris Rabowski, who's a candidate for the City of Tarpon Springs City Commission, an update on his campaign. That'll also be interesting. And tonight, just to celebrate the news that I'm going to announce shortly, we're going to have a little bit more music in the program than we sometimes do. Sometimes we have a significant amount of music. Sometimes we don't. There's always music in the program, but we don't always feature it as prominently as we do. We're going to have a little bit more music than normal tonight and have a little bit of fun. I'm going to dedicate one song to the victims of the Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, especially in Tacloban. We'll dedicate a song to them. And we'll have other interesting things and surprises as well. And one last segment we're going to cover tonight, and that is a preview of the event coming up this week on Friday. It's Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday of next week. That's the November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And that is the School of America's Watch Vigil in Columbus, Georgia, outside the main gate of Fort Benning, the Army base there in Columbus, Georgia. And also, I'll be reminding you about our special guest on next week's program. Next week's program, we are going to have, for the hour, an interview with Robert Groden. Robert Groden is an absolute expert on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He has written the book High Treason. Let me read you the title of that, the subtitle, actually. The subtitle of the book he wrote in 1989 was High Treason, John F. Kennedy's Murder, Our Government's Secret, A Nation's Betrayal. He's also the author of JFK, The Case for Conspiracy. That is a book and a DVD. Very interesting. It's one of the more interesting DVDs I've ever seen on the Kennedy assassination. Robert Groden was also a consultant for the film JFK that was produced by Oliver Stone and actually appears in the film as an actor three times as well. I guess they thought if he's going to hang around, they might as well put him to work not only as a consultant but as an actor. So that's interesting as well. Robert Groden is very interesting. Next week, for the hour, it's a special Spectrum 360. We'll be covering more events after that in our normal way on the program after next week's program. So the next normal program will be 2 weeks from now, and next week's special, Robert Groden. Okay, now I want to get to segment one, and that is our program note. There have been major changes to Spectrum 360 and the staff and the host of Spectrum 360, and I want to announce that Reverend Bruce Wright is no longer a co-producer and co-host and field reporter for this program as of last week. He is taking some time off. As regular listeners to this program know, he is in the process of pursuing advanced degrees, postgraduate degrees, a master's degree, and he is doing a lot of studying. And he has also decided that he wants to start another progressive political talk program that will broadcast from this same set of stations. My program, Spectrum 360, and formerly our program, the one that I did with Reverend Bruce Wright until last week, is broadcast from the WTN studios in Clearwater, Florida. It actually is aired on three different stations, WTN, WZHR, and WDCF. Those are all stations in the Tantalk Radio Network. Bruce has decided to start his own program, so that is going to double the progressive political talk programs in this genre on the Tantalk Radio Network. My understanding is that he plans to start this new program probably in January. So I want to be the first person to announce that to the public, that Bruce will be starting his own program in January. The exact title of that program is as yet unknown, but I think a good working title would be Bruce's New Radio Program. Well, that's a tough one, huh? So anyway, I think that explains it all. So that's good news. The programs are going to be friends of each other. We're going to be supporting each other and maybe actually even exchanging guests and information, etc. But we'll be having our own take on political issues, the issues that we discuss, the positions we take, etc. Regular listeners to this program know, Bruce and I, although we are both progressives and we do agree on a lot of issues and a lot of positions, we also have a lot of differences, too. And that's one of the things I think that made the program interesting for me and him, and I believe our radio listening audience as well. Well, now we're going to have two different programs to explore that. So that's major good news. So Bruce will take some time off to work on his master's degree, develop that new program, and then probably sometime in January start that new program. I believe it's going to be twice a month, every other week, whereas this program has been weekly. And believe me, it's tough to keep up with even a weekly program if you're doing hard work and going into the field and getting a lot of media that's current for our listeners, which is exactly what I do. Just in the last weekend alone, traveled about 240 miles to get new audio for the program from various events. Okay, and what I like to do is, Bruce Wright is sometimes a controversial figure and is sometimes described and I think it actually is sometimes divisive and critical of a lot of progressives and moderates and even conservatives. And so we have had our differences, but Bruce Wright has been a major advocate for the homeless and poor people. As you know, he's involved in the Poor People Economic Human Rights Campaign. He's operated the Refuge, which is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. He's done a lot of excellent work with poor homeless people and addicted people. He's been a major advocate for them. And I want to thank him for his work. He's done high-quality work and a lot of it for a long time, and I want to thank him for his service in this community on those issues. He definitely deserves it. And as a tribute to my co-host, my former co-host, I want to read a post from the internet. I'm going to the person who made this post is going to remain anonymous. I don't want to mention their name. I just want to read this post as a tribute to Bruce Wright and some of the work he has done. And here's the post. And this is from a person who knows Bruce Wright and has benefited from his ministries. Today, I am thankful for my old friend slash street dad, Bruce Wright. When I was 16 and 2,000 miles from home, he and his trusty flashlight, when searching for the girl he heard was living in a tree with a busted face from having her bleep kicked by a group of guys. He plucked me up off the street, took me to Denny's often, and had me living illegally in the church he ran. This man was a father to me. He scolded my bad behavior, answered my hysterical phone calls in the dead of night, bought me boiled peanuts, almost daily, because he loved them, and gave me the gift of friendship, fellowship, and the word of God. He married me for the first time, and I believe he officiated at the wedding. He didn't actually marry this person. He officiated in his capacity as a reverend. Let me read that again. He married me for the first time and took me to the doctors when I found out I was pregnant with Matt. He begged me daily to use my genius for good and not evil and help me enroll in college. Even more important, he taught me about Jesus, counseled me, cried with me through my pain, and hugged me as often as possible. Every single way that I have achieved greatness in life is because of this man. My compassionate heart was born from this. My desire to help others, my understanding of people and the world, he instilled in me. I am who I am because of his intervention, and I will be grateful to him for the rest of my life. Bruce, you will always be my family, and I will always have your back. I love you dearly, and I thank you for being a world changer. You certainly changed mine. And that's a tribute to the Reverend Bruce Wright, my former co-host here on Spectrum 360, from a person that he helped through his ministry. A young woman. I don't know what her age is now, but she's obviously young. And what a great tribute. I hope that in my life, someone writes a tribute to me that's that positive and that's that good and has that many positive, wonderful things to say about me. But I certainly admire and respect that. Also, one other thing. As regular listeners to this program know, Reverend Bruce Wright is in the process of filing lawsuits against the city of St. Petersburg about multiple issues, but most of them relate to the treatment of the homeless by the city in Williams Park, which is a park just a couple blocks from City Hall, right in downtown St. Petersburg, right across from the Duke Energy Building, if people know where that is. And so there is a federal lawsuit that's been filed. We've been so busy on this program with breaking news and new news that we haven't taken the time to read this statement from his lawyers, his lawyer at the SLC. And I want to take the opportunity to do that now because we just have not had time to do it before. The short segment kept getting delayed and delayed and postponed. So I just want to read this briefly so you know what's going on out there. This lawsuit has potentially very interesting ramifications for a lot of different issues. So here's the statement. SLC, on behalf of Reverend Bruce Wright, filed a federal lawsuit today against the city of St. Petersburg, alleging violations of his First and 14th Amendment rights. The city banned him for 1 year from Williams Park, where the Reverend frequently advocated for homeless individuals and protested city policies. Reverend Wright, an ordained minister and longtime homeless advocate, is challenging the year-long exclusion. Reverend Wright is not allowed to go into the park for any reason without risking arrest for trespassing. The city's trespass ordinance has a provision that allows people to petition the city for permission to re-enter the park but the procedure gives too much discretion to city officials to deny slash grant permits and fails to contain adequate procedural safeguards. Reverend Wright is separately challenging the city's decision to issue him a trespass warning in a case filed in state circuit court in Pinellas County. The federal lawsuit filed today focuses on Reverend Wright's freedom of expression rights caused by the trespass warning. Read the press release and the complaint. Now, this was posted on the SLC website on Wednesday, the 30th of October, 2013. So it's a few weeks old. We finally got to it. I wanted to read that. Because if this, if he wins this case, this is a federal lawsuit. This sets precedent, and I believe a previous decision on this, if this decision is in his favor, and I believe the legal term for that is stare decisis, meaning it's settled law. If this decision is decided in his favor in federal court, this would set a precedent all across the country, because this this tactic of trespassing people from public property has been used all across the country. It's been used against political activists. It's been used against homeless advocates, as in the case of Reverend Wright. It's also been used against members of the Occupy movement, and I believe incorrectly. So it'll be very interesting to follow this lawsuit. The state lawsuit, to my knowledge, is pending filing. So there hasn't been a filing in the state lawsuit yet, but there will be soon. Once there is, we'll have more information about that, and we hope to have Reverend Wright on to talk about his case in person as that case gets filed as well, and we'll follow it to its conclusion. It's going to be pretty interesting. So that is segment one. Segment two, on to the next one. What I would like to say is I've been very busy over the last several days, and I want to speak specifically about two events that I attended over the weekend. And one was in Orlando, one was in Tarpon Springs. The Orlando event first. Now, that was an event sponsored by Floridians Against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Communication Workers of America, March Against Monsanto, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of citizens. The event was this last Saturday, 16th of November, 2013, at 2 p.m., right in the mall outside of City Hall in Orlando. And there was about 50 people there. People that were very concerned about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and also Fast Track Authority to approve this so-called trade treaty. So there were 50 people there. There were a number of speakers, and it was very interesting what people had to say. There was, now I want to apologize. There was a technical problem with the audio that we had from that event on Saturday, and we were not able to get that on the program for this program. We may possibly be able to get it on the program in 2 weeks after, because the next Spectrum 360 is going to be a special program. So after our special next week, we may be able to get that on in 2 weeks. I do apologize. We had it scheduled for this week, but for technical reasons that could not be resolved by airtime, we were not able to do that this week. But I do want to cover what happened. Reverend Bruce Wright also spoke at this event. He was very forceful, and people are very concerned that Fast Track Authority not be granted President Obama, or for that matter, any president. Fast Track Authority, to my understanding, was a tactic that was originated by President Nixon to basically make an end run around the authority that Congress has so that he could do things without congressional authority, much like what's happened during the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, in terms of authority to start wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a similar kind of situation where Congress abrogates its authority and delegates it to the president, and then the president exercises it at his discretion, which, if you read the Constitution, that's unconstitutional. It's Congress's authority, and I believe in these cases, both in these war powers and also in Fast Track for so-called trade promotion authority, that both doing these things is wrong. It's unconstitutional, and there's many people that agree with me on that, and they rallied in Orlando. So Reverend Bruce Wright spoke. We also had a representative for the March Against Monsanto, and we also had a representative from Alan Grayson's office, the regional director from U.S. Representative Alan Grayson's office. And the reason this is interesting and important is that Alan Grayson is the only congressman or congressperson of any sex that's actually had access to the documentation, the actual text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership agreement. Now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is you know, is billed as a trade deal, but it's also being described by people openly as a New World Order instrument to institute global corporate governance. Now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership would not do this in and of itself because it affects about 40% of world trade, but not 100%. But you get the idea, 40% of trade being affected by the Trans-Pacific Partnership, if approved. And then President Obama has openly declared that he is interested in doing a transatlantic partnership as well, which would probably affect the large majority of the vast amount of trade in the world that's not affected by the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This negotiation is being done in secret. It involves 600 corporate lobbyists. Now, why would a so-called trade treaty being negotiated with 600 corporate lobbyists need to be secret from the public? I would suggest that it because it is not for our benefit. So we are doing ongoing coverage on this issue on this program about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we'll be doing so in the future. So there was a great event in Orlando. Jim Howe was one of the lead organizers for that. He also cooperated with me when we co-produced an event along with many other people. Anita Stewart comes to mind, Terry Weeks, and a number of other people. That was this year in March at the former Roosevelt 2.0 in Ybor City in Tampa. That was a great event as well. Had about as many people there. We also had a march from the Roosevelt 2.0 and went all the way down through the port of Tampa, educating people, handing out flyers, leaflets, brochures, etc., information, literature on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and its negative impacts. Now, Alan Grayson is the only congressperson who's seen this text, okay? And what he has done is, here's how he was able to see it. And this is really astonishing when you think about it. I mean, it's just weird. He was able to go see the text in a room. He was not allowed to have any staff. He could only go in by himself. He could not have a computer. He could not have a cellular telephone. He could not have pens. He could not have paper. He could see the document only. And then after he saw the text, he was not allowed to speak about it. Now, what the heck kind of trade deal puts those kind of restrictions on a member of Congress that they can't even they can't even talk about it? That is ridiculous. Okay. And the one thing Alan Grayson has said about this is that this is a very bad deal for the American people and especially the middle class. I 100% agree with that. And if you could say more about it, he'd give us more specifics. Now, just last week, a great development, WikiLeaks had posted a reward for leaked sections of chapters of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and they were successful in receiving some. So now we have some of the text. There was text that was leaked there before, but the only text that the public has about this whole issue is text that's been leaked. So what does that say about what is happening in our country? We need to get to the bottom of this. Now, I do have some good news. I want to really emphasize that there is good news on the TPP. Number one, if you remember, on this program, on the September 23rd edition of Spectrum 360, we interviewed Kevin Zeese. And Kevin Zeese is an activist against the TPP. And that very day that we interviewed him, he and a number of other activists had gone to the building of the U.S. Trade Representative in Washington, D.C. and dropped banners on the building. It was a great story. So we're making progress. Also, Representative Alan Grayson, of course, is against the Trans-Pacific Partnership and is telling anybody who listened that he is. And also, I had a conversation this year in April with U.S. Senator Bill Nelson. I actually got 3 minutes with the senator and was actually able to speak with him on this subject. And unbelievable, because if you know anything about politics, you know how difficult it is to get 3 minutes with a U.S. senator where they'll listen to you only. I serendipitously was able to do that in April. And he didn't know anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, really. We asked him in a press conference, are you for it? And he said tentatively, you know, very tepidly that, yes, I'm for it. But I don't think he really knew all the ramifications of it, because really nobody does. What he said to me was, I told him that there are people all across the country in Florida that are being very, very concerned about this issue and its very negative effects on America, and then we want it stopped. And he said, well, his answer to this was this. He's on the Commerce Committee. When the bill comes to the Commerce Committee, they will read the text and see what's in it. And when it's bad, you know, they'll consider stopping it. So we have a potential ally in U.S. Senator Bill Nelson. We definitely have an ally in Congressman Alan Grayson. And also, I spoke 2 weeks ago or two Fridays ago, actually, to Mary Beth Maxwell. Now, Mary Beth Maxwell is an official deputy chief of staff in the Labor Department in the Obama administration. She would not take a public position on the Trans-Pacific Partnership when asked about it. But in a question and answer session after her speech at the Bethel Temple in St. Petersburg, I was able to get with her, and I expressed the strong opposition of Floridians against the TPP, many citizens in the state of Florida and all across the country, and our strong opposition to fast-track authority for the so-called Trade Promotion Authority and the Trans-Pacific Partnership itself. So we have positive things that are happening. Also, I was able to speak to Judith Ann McLaughlin. She has declared a candidacy for state representative. And she is a political science professor at University of South Florida. Okay. Now, she's a very knowledgeable person. She's a Fulbright scholar, a lot of academic credentials. And yet, because there's so little information about this and because the Trans-Pacific Partnership is being negotiated in the secret, she had little to no information on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and how bad it was. So I was able to get with her. She's, once again, a state representative candidate from Pinellas County. And her district runs through Pinellas County and into Hillsborough County. And the current office holder there is Republican Jeff Brandis. So we educated her on the TPP. Not surprising that she didn't know very much about it, because most people do not, even people that are very into politics, because this is being done as secretly as possible. And that's one of the problems with it. So that's good news about the TPP. I do apologize for the lack of the audio from the rally, technical problem with that. We will try to get that on later. But we're giving good coverage to this issue and will continue to. So that's what we have on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I'm going to come back after break. We're going to break for commercials and news. And when we return, I'm going to have information about the invisible war. And then we'll have some interviews for you as well and talk about other things also. So this is Spectrum 360. Remember to like us on Facebook. Go to Spectrum 360 Radio Program. Like us on Facebook. And we love those likes. So please continue to do it. We're getting more and more every day. And remember, you can also access the podcast at tantalk1340.com. Go to podcast, go to Spectrum 360. Back in a few.
Radio. I'm Melissa Rayberger. George Zimmerman is back in trouble with the law, arrested today in Sanford, Florida, and charged with allegedly pointing a shotgun at his girlfriend during a domestic dispute.
He has been charged with aggravated assault, battery, domestic violence, as well as criminal mischief. He is scheduled for a first appearance tomorrow morning at 1:30 p.m., which is customary for anybody who's arrested at this particular time of the day.
That was Seminole County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Dennis Lemma, who says Zimmerman's girlfriend called police on her cell phone. Zimmerman was acquitted this summer in the fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford has been stripped of many of his powers by the City Council. Though he retains his title, he effectively has no legislative power now. An Amtrak train is derailed south of Baltimore. Nobody was hurt. Service was suspended between Baltimore and Washington. This is NBC News Radio.
You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Bob Heilman's Beachcomber at 447 Mandalay Avenue in Clearwater asks listeners to open their hearts this holiday season and donate a toy for the less fortunate children in our community. Stop by for some great food and bring a gift to the Toys for Tots drop-off box located right next to our decorative tree. That's Bob Heilman's Beachcomber, located at 447 Mandalay Ave in Clearwater. For more information, call 727-442-4144. Bob Heilman's Beachcomber, wishing everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
Mr. Murray!
Yes?
I'm calling you from Egypt. How are you?
From Egypt? And how
I'm
are
calling
it?
You from Egypt.
And how are things in Egypt?
Egypt is great. We're chanting Buddy, 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 Buddy.
Oh, how nice.
We love your program over here. We love it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. From Egypt, no less. How about that?
The Buddy Verdi Show, big band music every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 3 here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is John Austin, the host of Tan Talks The Book Club, a program that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. If you are a published author and feel that your book has not had the exposure it deserves and you would like to be considered for a guest spot in the book club, email your name, the title of your book, along with a brief synopsis of the book to bookclub1340@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information. And be sure and join me, John Austin, on The Book Club every Tuesday morning at 10 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
As a woman, I am very thankful for men. And to show my appreciation, me and my girls are discussing all the reasons that men make us smile, they satisfy our fantasies, and excite our hearts. We love men. And on the next Happy Hour with Dana Pepper, we're celebrating all the good ones. Happy Hour with Dana Pepper, every Thursday afternoon at 5 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Robert Harriman, and I am the host of Outbreak News This Week, a radio arm of theglobaldispatch.com. The show is going to be a weekly digest of the latest and most important news related to infectious diseases, whether it be foodborne illnesses, influenza, or parasites, whatever's hot in the news that week. In addition, I'll have fantastic guests from health officials from all levels of government, NGOs, and academia. Outbreak News This Week will air on Saturday mornings at 7:30 a.m. on the Tan Talk Network.
Thousands of newspaper and magazine articles have been written about him. Countless TV programs have focused on him. Millions of arguments have been started because of him. Everyone has an opinion about him. The world will be listening as Ima speaks. Make sure your radio's tuned, that your alarm is set, as history waits for only one man, the I-Man.
The I-Man is back in Tampa Bay on the stations of the Tan Talk Network. Catch Imus in the morning right here.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
My time falls on you, yeah.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 18th of November, 2013. We are back from break. This is Mark Skogman, your co-host. I am now Bruceless, as I say. Yes, Reverend Bruce Wright has left the program to start his own program. We wish him well, and we'll be supporting that effort. And that will be starting in January. But right now, I'm going it alone, solo, and we're going to get right back into programming here, into content. We just have so much to try to pack into this program. This is an interview that I did today with City Councilwoman-elect in St. Petersburg, Darden Rice. I'm going to elect Darden Rice in St. Petersburg. Darden, congratulations on your recent election. And give me your perspective on the election. What do you think happened with so many Democrats being elected in the last election cycle?
I think that we saw that St. Pete residents elected candidates who presented a strong vision, who were solution-oriented and focused on the economy. I think there was a sense that St. Pete, over the last few years, has had its, if you will, its rudder out of the water. And I think we're looking forward to electing and we did elect a new mayor as well as a couple of new council members who earned the public's trust that we were serious about working with business, serious about focusing on our economic future and growth, and that we are serious about working with the citizens of St. Pete in a more accountable and more transparent way.
What is your agenda going to be with the new city council once you take office?
Well, of course, it's a collaborative process. As a city council member, I'll be working with seven other colleagues as well as the mayor's side. I think there's some short-term projects we can get to work on right away, and of course, there's long-term. The short-term, I'd like to focus on a cost-feasible solution to implement universal curbside recycling. I'd also like to see some ways that we can fix some efficiencies and fix the way we do business in a more transparent and accountable way to rebuild the public's trust. And then, of course, as always, we have long-term economic priorities to focus on, focusing on our medical sector, our marine research sector, our manufacturing sector. And, of course, working with Midtown and the Community Reinvestment Act and the TIF district plans to help bring more money and jobs to reduce poverty in that part of our city. Because if our city isn't strong everywhere, we're not a strong city at all.
Okay. Also, I was reading a blog by Dr. David McCallop, who ran for city council, and he was describing what's going to happen in 2017 as being higher taxes, a worse economy, and also less freedom. What would be your reaction to a projection like that?
Well, David McCallop was my opponent. He did lose the primary, and his message fell short because people ultimately did not trust his ideas or agree with his dire projection. Prediction of the future. I stood here today calling upon a Republican governor to stand up for Florida's middle class and to stand up to Duke Energy and to ask the utilities to return taxpayer money to the ratepayers. We have been saddled with higher costs and fees that have been passed on to us for their malfeasance and mistakes. And there's nowhere else in the country where you can find a utility that is able to pass on those types of cost to the ratepayers. It hurts us because this area, the west central area of Florida, pays some of the highest electrical rates in the state, and Florida pays some of the highest electricity rates more than other neighboring southern states. So businesses are going to start to factor in that it's more expensive to relocate or grow here because we do not curtail these costs. Now, I can't think of a better issue to start with to defend taxpayers and the middle class than this issue that we are working on here today.
Great. Darden Rice, thank you for speaking with Spectrum 360.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you more. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, that was an interview with City Councilwoman-elect from the city of St. Petersburg, Darden Rice. Very interesting. I really like what she had to say. It was pretty illuminating. I challenged her, and she actually did very well in answering that challenge. So I compliment her on that. She was at the event today of Florida for All. Very interesting. Now I've got a statement by Dwight Dudley as well, and this is also pretty interesting. He has some interesting ideas in this statement. Listen closely.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Councilwoman Rice. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here this morning to talk about this crucial issue, the repeal of the utility tax. We've got legislation that is in drafting for a repeal and a refund of the utility tax. This is involving billions of dollars. We can't get the PSC to act like the watchdog that it's supposed to be on behalf of the public. Instead, they're a lapdog for the utilities. This has to change. I have a bill that's also being filed to reorganize the PSC, to make it an elected PSC. But the crucial issue here is the money that's coming out of hardworking Floridians' pockets every month to pay for a utility tax that was supposed to generate all kinds of power, nuclear power. We haven't gotten 1 kilowatt. The PSC dropped the ball again in assigning 80% of the cost of that failed debacle of destroying that multi-billion dollar asset and stuck consumers with the bill, 80% of it. They're only paying 20%. We have to repeal the utility tax. Duke Energy's Lynn Good has already articulated her desire to expand the use of the utility tax to things other than nuclear reactors. We need to look at renewables, alternatives, and efficiencies. The cheapest watt of power is the one that you don't use. This is something that we're giving the opportunity to the Speaker of the House to schedule these hearings on these bills, the repeal bill, an opportunity for the Speaker to calendar the bill that would create a constitutional amendment to allow the people to repeal the utility tax. If the legislature doesn't have the guts to do it, let's have the people have a chance to do it. So barring that, we'll organize, we'll have a citizen's petition, and we will repeal the utility tax because it's only fair. It's costing hardworking Floridians billions of dollars. That's with a B. So thank you very much. Be happy to take any questions.
Okay, that was an interview with State Representative Dwight Dudley. And the two important ideas that he unveiled today were, number one, a citizen's initiative to do an end around the Florida state legislature to repeal the advanced recovery fee, which is allowing Duke Energy to bilk their customers for so much money in the billions of dollars. And also, he has proposed a bill to start electing the Public Service Commission members rather than having them appointed. I think that would be a major step in the right direction. It's very democratic, and it would reestablish our control, because it does appear that the Florida Public Service Commission is what a lot of people call a captured agency. In other words, it no longer represents the interests of the citizens, the average citizen in the middle class of Florida, and all the citizens, but rather the interests of the corporations whose business they regulate. Now, here's another interview with Chris Obrowski. He's a candidate for city commission in the city of city of Tarpon Springs. And he's got a campaign update.
And I have Chris Obrowski, who's a commissioner for Tarpon Springs City Commission. Chris, we've interviewed you before. How's the campaign going since we spoke with you last in September?
Fantastic. I've had a lot of support from ex-commissioners, and actually one ex-mayor of Tarpon Springs have approached me and said that they're going to support me. They asked for stacks of business cards, and they're handing them out. It's the most amazing thing. There's been a groundswell of support. We've been getting out to the local events. My help, Maureen, has been an enormous help. She's been handing out these at the Oktoberfest event. It was very much fun. Lots of fun. We also got all my cards signed at that one event, so I can get on the ballot.
Now, I understand some Democrats have not supported you that are in the Tarpon Springs area. Is that correct?
Well, there has been another candidate that entered the race after me that was registered Democrat, and so there has been some discussion about that. There's a belief that she should run against the Republican that is, you know, running, because there are two seats open. So why would she file to run against another Democrat? We don't think that that's the best use of our power. We could do what they did in St. Petersburg and fill the dais with Democrats. And so we're hoping that she sees the logic in that.
Interesting. Maureen, what's your perspective on Chris's race up in Tarpon Springs? Do you have any comments on it?
Well, I think he's doing very well. Like he said, we're out at all the events. We have a lot of other things planned to do. And everybody loves him. A lot of what he stands for is what Tarpon is about. And I think we'll do very well.
Okay, Chris Obrowski, thank you for the interview.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fads, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life. Don't tell me that it's imminent.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother.
Okay. there were our interviews, and I'd like to take this time to have a little music break and dedicate a song to the victims of Hurricane Haiyan. This is a Tom Petty song from 19 years ago. It always really touches me whenever I play it, and it's called A Higher Place, and it is about trying to save yourself from a flood. Listen closely. Okay, there you go. That's Tom Petty from the Wildflowers album that was done in 1994. It's hard to believe that's 19 years ago that he did that album. It seems like about five. And that's a song dedicated to the victims of Super Typhoon Haiyan. And the song was A Higher Ground. Now I want to switch gears. And I want to talk for the rest of the program about the School of America's Watch, which I introduced to you over the last couple of programs. The School America's Watch Vigil is a large political demonstration which includes workshops, religious services, film screenings, and a very large demonstration at the front gate of the Fort Benning Army Base in Columbus, Georgia. And we're not protesting soldiers. We're not protesting the U.S. military. Well, indirectly we are in some ways. And we're not protesting the base itself. What we're protesting is a school on the Army base there at Fort Benning, which was formerly known as the School of Americas, now is known by another acronym, which is WINSEC, which I believe stands for Western Hemispheric. I can't even do it. And I know what it is, too. I'm having a brain freeze. But anyway, it's called WINSEC now. It was the SOA before. The School of Americas trains soldiers and police personnel from foreign countries, specifically in South America, and then sends them back to their countries. And what they end up doing with this training is suppressing, oppressing, and sometimes beating up and murdering their own citizens. And this is something that must stop. A Catholic priest who is a U.S. military veteran of the Navy who served time in Bolivia as a Catholic priest came back to this country and found out about this school. And 23 years ago, he went on a fast at the gates of Fort Benning to end the School of Americas because, well, let me tell you what the nickname of the school is in the movement. It's called the School of Assassins. Doesn't that tell you a lot? You know, we're coming up this week on Friday, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and the U.S. government largely still doesn't even acknowledge the truth about that event. And we've been doing this all across the world. I support the U.S. military. I support their mission when it's correct. And I support a lot of things about what our country does. But when our country does something like support a school that does this kind of training with these kind of results, this is wrong. And I'd like to note that the famous incident in the 80s where the four Catholic nuns were killed, it was School of America's graduates that were involved in the murder of the four nuns in the early 80s. That was a famous incident where they were murdered in the South American country. That was terrible. School of America's graduates were involved in that. I'm going to play a couple of minutes of Father Roy Bussois, the founder of the School of America's Watch, talking about this. And we're talking about a large event here. There's been as many as 20,000 people in this small town for this event. And there's a lot of communities of faith, a lot of student groups, a lot of college and university groups, a lot of church groups come to this. And it's a very solemn event. It concludes Sunday morning with what is a large funeral dirge for all the victims. And this goes on for hours. It's very emotional. I cried like a baby the first time I went there and saw this. It is the most emotional, most involving, most moving political demonstration of any kind I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I want to play just a little bit. This is from a preview of a documentary film, which I'm currently producing and will be completed in the next few months. It's called The School of America's Watch, a Video Journal, 2009 to 2013. Here's Father Roy Bussois.
It angered for the first time some of our members of Congress who kept approving that military aid. This time, El Salvador came closer to their hearts. They knew some of the Jesuits who had been to Boston and Washington, had been in some of their homes. And so they sent a congressional task force to investigate this massacre. They come back reporting that those who did the killing were trained at the U.S. Army School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. When we read that report, a small group of us headed back to Fort Benning. And right outside of the main gate, started opened up this little apartment called the SOA Watch. We had 10 of us. Kathy Kelly, many of you know, from Chicago, went on to do a lot on Iraq, Voices in the Wilderness. Charlie Litke, a Vietnam vet, joined us, recipient of the Medal of Honor. Three Salvadoran students from the university who had to flee their country with death threats were part of our little group. A Jesuit, a Dominican, and others, 10 of us. The first action, really, we met for 3 days to reflect. And at this nice restaurant, we decided we were going to have a fast, a water-only fast. One thing I've learned in the struggle is never plan a fast at a restaurant. really got, but Gandhi was right. You can't go wrong with the fast. It exposes an injustice. It calls attention to others that there's something wrong here. So we camped out at the main gate of Fort Benning. For the next 35 days, we did not eat. We sustained ourselves on water. It was hard. Our bodies grew weak, but the spirit remained strong. And it was our first action that called attention to the school. And we ended the fast, got healthy, and went back to work. And what we had to do, of course, was homework.
And that was Father Roy Bourgeois. He's the originator and the founder of the School of America's Watch that happens every year, the last weekend before Thanksgiving, in Fort Benning, Georgia. Well, actually, Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning Army Base. He's also a funny guy. I love that joke about, never plan a fast in a restaurant. He actually did that and then went out and fasted for 30 days for his convictions at the gate itself. So I have a lot of respect for the man. That's coming up this weekend. I'll be covering that event in Columbus, Georgia for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will come back with a report that will be on this program in 2 weeks. And in a few months, we'll have a documentary film on this very movement. So it's going to be great. Keep posted. Remember, there's going to be a very special Spectrum 360 next week. We are interviewing Robert Groden, one of the best experts on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy on Friday, the 22nd November, 1963. Yes, it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be great. We're going to break probably some new news here. And I consider Robert Groden a national hero. That's on the next Spectrum 360. Listen, like us on Facebook. Thank you.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Co-producer, co-host, and field reporter, Bruce Wright. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters from the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.